Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in Rose City to the Soccer Made in Portland podcast. Another special edition for you this week. I'm Ryan Clark, joined by Chris Reifer and Portland Timbers general manager Ned Grabovoy. Ned, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Ryan and Chris. Thanks for having me. And first time here, so happy to chat with you guys.
Well, welcome in. We'll just dive right into it in terms of the subjects at hand. Obviously, you are a person who played 13 years in MLS, final season with the Timbers. What about this team, this city, attracted you to join the front office originally?
Yeah, well, Portland fans maybe don't want to remember my one season giving them the memorable 2016 after winning MLS Cup. But, I think I had sort of said it before a few times. I was a part of the first free agency class in MLS, and so playing 12 years, and never really having the ability to have a majority of the say, of where you could go and play. I think at that moment in my career, and being fortunate enough to be a part of some winning teams. For me, I looked at Portland as always being just such a unique market, and the fan base and supporters and just everything that they had here for me was it was almost a bridge in a way of sort of the old MLS, into what the new MLS was going to look like. And certainly I could have, made other decisions to go to other clubs and probably play more, given the midfielders I had in front of me, which was probably the best group in the league at the time. But for me, it was more about being somewhere, that sort of showed the growth of the league and being a part of that personally and individually. So that was a big reason for, wanting the opportunity in Portland.
And what do you like about living in Portland? Now, it's been a few years that you've been with the club, either as a player or front office individual. I guess what do you like the most about it?
So I've lived a lot of places, and for everyone's different. Was in New York City area with 2-year-old twins. That didn't work for me. I've always said if I could be anywhere west of Colorado, That's what I would choose. So I like being on the West Coast. And I think Portland has a ton to offer. I think the outdoor living and just the ability to get to the ocean, to get to the mountains, to be outside. Some of those things I think are some of the attractions that draw a lot of people, to the area. So I think it's crazy to think, because you blink and, almost 8 years go by, and then you realize it's kind of the longest you've lived anywhere, since I was a kid. So it feels strange to say that, but I do think, over the last couple of years, my family and I have considered this now to be our home, and we're happy to be here and happy to be a part of the community.
Ned, you just got a big promotion, obviously. Congratulations on that. I'm about to give you another one, so also congratulations on that. For purposes of this question, congratulations, you've just been promoted to MLS commissioner. And as additional good news, the players union and the board of directors of the league have come together and have given you unilateral authority to change the MLS roster rules. So with all of this new power that you have, what are you doing? How are you going into the rules and changing things?
My first question would be, did I receive my first paycheck yet with the promotion? Because at that level, I may need one, and then, I may not have to make any decisions and just sort of fade out, fade out. But
accounting is a little behind, but we'll check into that for you.
You know, I think that the league, and I know, Chris, that you have a pretty good understanding, you know, of a lot of the rules and regulations of the league. But in all honesty, I look at where the league was and where the league is now, and how quickly it's accelerating year to year. For me, it's moving very, very quickly. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it is just now, I think, investment and ownership. You know, when you look at what clubs are being sold for, the stadiums, investment in players, investment in staff, it's almost like you get into the eras of MLS 1.0, 2.0. I feel like every 3 months, it's like MLS 5.5, MLS 5.8. And, you know, I wonder at some point, is there a system that makes more sense where instead of dealing with the GAM and the TAM and the salary cap, and do we just open it up, take the number up, take it up quite a bit, and say, we've got a lot of people now that have been working in the league for a long time, you know, and have a great knowledge of many, many things. And do we give them more ability and flexibility to ultimately make decisions that best suit their club and their marketplace? Without knowing, I would think, you know, a lot of those thoughts and ideas would probably mirror, you know, other CSOs or others that are looking at it as well. And no one has a crystal ball and no one has the perfect answer. But for me, in a world of competition, let's open it up and compete. And then from there, I think you've got to make the decisions that are best for the club. And yes, there's going to be some clubs that have more limitations than other clubs, but at the same time, you know, I don't know, maybe we're also prohibiting some of the massive spenders in the league from doing more in driving the league. So it's an interesting topic and an interesting conversation. And it's certainly one I don't think that's going to go away. It's going to continue.
Do you think we're picking up momentum on this front? I mean, we just saw, this is a small victory, but we just saw the allocation order abolished. I'm going to use the word abolished because that's fun. But for those of us who have been in and around MLS rules for a while, that was a bit of a victory. Do you think that's a sign that we're getting some momentum toward that direction?
You know, that's probably on a smaller scale, right? But I do think, hopefully it's a show as well from the league side that, look, these conversations and discussions are healthy. It's healthy to disagree. It's healthy for one person to have an opinion that doesn't align with someone else's opinion. That's what makes the sport and the business, you know, also enjoyable for a lot of people. And so I think at least if there's healthy, you know, dialogue and conversations on those, you know, and then putting it sort of back to the group of people that are tasked with helping lead clubs, you know, I think getting that feedback, but being open to that feedback and those opinions, then ultimately you'll get a better understanding of maybe how the majority of that group feels about, you know, some of the different rules and regulations.
Operating, I guess, within those rules and regulations as they currently stand, obviously, the Timbers maintain a DP spot, and you've spoken publicly about the desire to sign a young DP at the striker spot in the near future. I'm wondering, you know, GMs don't like the word timeline, but I'm wondering what the status of that signing is and what kind of player you guys are looking for.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things in that question. First, I think a young designated player in that position long term is what could make a ton of sense for us as a club. Having said that, at the moment, we don't necessarily have the ability to do that. Now, we definitely need to add another quality striker and forward to give Gio more competition in that position. And ultimately, the goal with any acquisition and signing is for it to ultimately improve the team, not just add players for the sake of adding players, but ultimately wanting it to improve, you know, the level of the group. So I think while we've looked at a few different things, you've probably seen with some of the moves and passing on another player that we had traded discovery rights to, at the moment, I think we definitely need to find as good a player as we can for this season, but still allowing us some flexibility long-term to one, bring the best player we possibly can, and two, do it in a way that is best for our budget and for our salary cap. And for me, I do see that potentially at forward as being that young designated player forward, coupled with a good quality forward that has, you know, some more experience. So some of this we have to work through a little bit. You know, Felipe Mora's injury is obviously a situation that everyone's aware of. You know, restructuring that contract for us was vital to even give us the opportunity to potentially look at some of these things. And I think as we go forward the next few months and into the summer, the longer term decision will be there, and we'll have more clarity on what's best.
For sure. So in your mind, I guess at this point, the immediate need is seeking somebody that's more of an established presence, an immediate contributor, and then in the long term, hopefully setting yourselves up to sign somebody that's a young DP at that spot.
Yeah, and I think for us, we're not just going to look at age and say, well, the 30-year-old is better than a 20-year-old. I mean, I think we've seen with some of our young acquisitions over the last, you know, year and a half, some of these players are capable of coming in right away and making an impact. I think it's, do we have the ability to go out, spend another transfer fee and fit it into our cap this year, into our roster this year right now? We don't. Can we look at some situations where maybe we're bringing a young player in with the ability to purchase long-term, or even a more established player that we're bringing in short-term with the ability to have long-term? I think for us, it's a fine balance. Best player, but also giving us some flexibility where we're not, you know, potentially digging a hole in a position where we already have, you know, some uncertainty.
Early in the offseason, Tom Bogert, or, you know, the American Fabrizio Romano, reported a couple times that he expected this to be a very busy offseason for the Timbers. You, of course, signed Evander, which is no small thing, to be sure. But, to date, that's the only really major change from the 2022 roster. What do you think changed in terms of, you know, the expectation setting in terms of what was going to happen this winter?
Yeah, I think there's, I think some of it is dream versus reality. You know, and reality is, going into this offseason, we had 18 of the 20 players in the senior roster under contract. You know, no options, but guaranteed and under contract, which is the first time we've ever had that, without question, at this club. Some of it is, you know, players have been rewarded for success at the club. And, you know, the club did have a run there and a stretch there where there was a lot of players that helped make us successful and prove that they were capable of helping a team, you know, win in this league. And then I think just where we're at with available money. So we have, you know, the reality was we had two open roster slots and around 1.3, 1.4 in money this season to use. So, you know, you sign a DP and do the math, take the 650 down off that number. And now you're at a number where, okay, can you get a great forward just for that budget number 1 year? Difficult. Which is why we've also looked actively to potentially make moves where we are active in the trade market, you know, and there are players that, you know, we would look to have to move in order to do what's best long term. Now, we've looked at doing that. We'll continue to look at doing that, and we'll have to continue to revisit that. But we also don't want to just give players away for free unless it makes sense, you know, for us both, you know, competitively and financially. I know that's not a sexy answer. I know fans, I know people like buzz and they like getting on Twitter and they like seeing they did this, they did that. But the reality is we've had a method here. We've followed it the last 5 or 6 years. And I do think overall we've been more right than we've been wrong. The goal is with any acquisition, best player, best budget number possible, that gives us a great player under contract for the next 4 or 5 years. You add enough of them and it should equal up to something that hopefully leads to success. Now, will we have to retool some things and reshape some things within the roster? 100%, without question. But there are a lot of moving parts, and some of it is being patient, having a steady hand, and we're all gonna make decisions. When you make them, you gotta try to make the right ones. A lot more right than wrong, and we'll continue to try and do that.
You mentioned, you know, maintaining some of that continuity in terms of the approach for the club with soccer operations. Obviously, one of the challenges for that and for people like yourself and others on staff is the shuffling of leadership and you know, the firing of Gavin Wilkinson late last year. How did that and how did the other off-field concerns swirling around the club impact the ability for yourself and soccer ops to maintain that standard and maintain that level of work?
Yeah. And I think, look, it's, everything's been publicized. And of course, you know, during that change and through those sort of turbulent times, there's a lot that's happening, you know, inside of a club. And there's many things to deal with other than just finding a good forward or, you know, trading a player. Right. And I think for us as a club, you know, in Portland, at this club, how the team looks on the field, the product on the field, winning games, being competitive, always going to be important. Always. And it's a big reason why myself and a lot of other staff members love being here. But there have been a lot of other things to accomplish this offseason. And I do think that we have the club now in a place where we are ready to move forward. I think there's a lot of fresh ideas. I think there's new leadership that's also eager to help sort of help, you know, help the club evolve and improve. And so that has taken, you know, quite a bit of time this offseason. Don't get me wrong. It's important to spend that time because that's also what's going to set up the club long-term for success as well. So I think we've worked hard. We've worked tirelessly on a lot of different fronts to stabilize the club. I think we've done that. And now, in all honesty, coming in off a long off season where, quite frankly, we didn't meet expectations. And, you know, at times the performances were probably more concerning than results in some ways. And I see some people re-energize, you know, and that's a good feeling. And certainly there's a lot of work to be done. But at the same time, I think everyone's sort of looking in a positive direction right now.
And one of the potential areas of work is a relationship, I guess, with the fan base that in large part had a lack of trust and maybe some level of animosity towards Gavin Wilkinson when he was here. You know, despite the successes on the field, obviously there were very public mistakes made by Gavin and his relationship with the fans. How, I guess, are you planning to reach out to fans and bridge that gap between the Timbers Army and the front office when it seems pretty wide right now?
Yeah, and look, I think it's a passionate fan base. It's and that's super important to the club, without question. I think to relive the past and how did things go wrong, mistakes that were made, and Gavin ultimately not being here, of course, there's, you know, that part of it. But, you know, I think it's also, in a lot of ways, it shouldn't be ignored some of the positive impact that he had over that time period, because there is a lot of positive things within the club. And I think reconnecting with the fan base, a big part of the off-season plan and strategy, I think a lot of those things are going to be put into place over the next couple of weeks and months. And then ultimately, how do we continue that relationship forward is extremely important, because we do need to find a way, you know, for everyone to sort of have an understanding as to where we're at, but also where we're going. And I think sometimes it's from the outside, you can kind of look on the surface, but it's hard to know what's underneath. And for me, the amount of employees and staff members here that sacrifice daily and this club being, you know, pretty much their livelihood. There's a lot of people that care, you know, passionately about this club and where this club is going. And certainly there's some things there, Ryan and Chris, that we need to improve. And like I said, it's been a big part of the off-season planning.
One of the things that's been a change is since Gavin was let go, you've been playing a man down in your office. It seems it's in terms of your direct office, it's sort of been you and Nick Mansueto in a bit of a foxhole. I think you all have previously said that you plan to make some additions there. Where are you in that process?
Yeah, it's I would say biggest priorities in terms on the sporting side right now. We talked about trying to add that forward, right? There's you know, two other positions that we need to hire and that are urgent, in my opinion. You know, one would be a video analyst, as we had a staff member that departed for a different opportunity in MLS. And the other would be, you know, sort of a director of scouting type to essentially start to take lead on that. But it's also a department that we need to build out over time. A lot of clubs in MLS have started to become very aggressive with the resources and investment in that department. And for us as a club, looking at the makeup of the team, certainly it makes sense that we've acquired a lot of players from abroad. So having that, you know, be in a place where it's healthy and it's good is really, really important. So huge priorities, both those positions. We are currently ongoing, I would say, in the latter stages with both of those positions. And for me and for the club in general, those positions are equally as important as any player we're going to sign right now. We do not want to fall behind in a lot of these areas. And not just fall behind or stay the same. We need to grow and we need to improve. So it's been a huge talking point as well.
Obviously, one of the highlights, if not the highlight of the offseason, is the signing of Evander, a club record signing. You've spoken about him before and what he can potentially bring. I'm starting to hear this question a lot in MLS circles. Do you think that Evander can be one of, if not the best players in MLS and be really a generational talent for this league?
Great question. I think, and this goes back to, you know, when we jumped in the beginning of the conversation, a little bit of difference of opinions and difference. We all see the game differently, right? Now, I think when you look at the level of investment, the type of player, you know, where Evander's coming from, his skill set and talent level, the talent is there. But there's also a lot of, you know, accountability on us in terms of how do we put him in the best position to succeed. And I think when you look at the history of some of the designated players in this league over the last 5 or 10 years that have sort of gotten themselves to a level where, you know, everyone around the league looks at those handful of players and says, you know, that's one of the best guys in the league, right? That guy helps make that team go. I do think there's a period and a process in which the player comes in, the player acclimates, the player settles, and then hopefully the player shows what he's capable. I do think there's a longer progression year two and year three, where once that player's at least shown that to the club is then going and investing in and around that player to give him the right pieces to ultimately help fit and mesh that player's skill set. And that's when I think you see with some of the players year two and year three, where they just take off and they're on another level. The recent ones in thinking through this a little bit, you know, I think if you were to look at a Haney Mukhtar, if you were to look at an Emmanuel Reynoso, who I think were, you know, two players that came into the league a few years ago, they had that same sort of progression. Showed immediately the talent level, the ability, and then I think settling within the club and then the club starting to build around them. And that's when you see, you know, some of these players completely take off and reach that next level. That would be the goal for us. Of course, when the player comes in, we want the player to do as well as he possibly can right away. But I do think to reach that top level, there's more to it than just the player itself. You know, we'll constantly be monitoring those things going forward and what pieces and what players, you know, fit with who.
One of the things you said in your introductory press conference, and I think you even referenced it just a few moments ago, is that you all came to an assessment over the course of the offseason that you think the group from last year underperformed a little bit and that you think that they are capable of more in 2023. Now, when you look at some of the advanced stats, the XG and things like that, they don't necessarily reflect that conclusion. My view on those things is that they can be a tool, a valuable tool, but they don't always tell the full story. What's the other part of the story that you all saw as you assessed last year's group and decided that group, even with an addition of somebody like Evander, is capable of performing significantly better in 23?
Yep, and I would actually sort of agree with some of the data and, you know, stats that you would look at. And objectively, I wouldn't disagree, and I wouldn't say that we necessarily deserved a lot more last year or to be in a better position within the table. Because I think, you know, while not gaining the amount of points needed to qualify for the playoffs or finish higher in the standings, you know, as I sort of had alluded to earlier, for me and for a lot of us, I think some of the performances were more of a concern than, you know, than the actual position within the table. Now, having said that, you know, it's not an excuse making business, super short offseason, run up to MLS Cup. You know, is there a level of complacency that was within the team last year? Yes, probably. Are we expecting some players to bounce back? How do we ultimately help push and support those players to jump back closer to, you know, their top potential and their top level? I do think that's some of it for us. But as I said before, the roster is a living and breathing thing, and we'll constantly monitor that and how we make the right changes going forward, and who's going to be a part of the next 4 or 5 years and maybe who's not.
Ned, shifting gears a bit here, you're a Chicago guy. Ketchup on a hot dog, acceptable or unacceptable?
Well, a Portland guy now, because one, I just don't have any time to go back to Chicago anymore, which is sad, because anyone that's been there knows they've got some of the best food options in the world. The great thing about Chicago hot dog, man, you could do whatever you want, and it's the right way. So you can do whatever you want with a hot dog. It does not matter. There's people in Chicago right now that might put ice cream on a hot dog, and you know what? I couldn't disagree with it.
Yeah, that's less hard a line than I expected, but is a welcome thing. You know, there's so many people that have such strong opinions on that front that it's a happy moment for me to hear that. So
this is a question of personal privilege. Are you a Cubs or a White Sox guy?
Cubs fan.
All right. Excellent answer. Go ahead,
Cubs
Ryan.
Fan. And by the way, you know, just Chicago is one of the best sports cities, and it's been a tough, like, usually when you have that many teams, you've got one that's, you know, in and around, like, competing for something, and they are down right now. So I don't know if they'll all bounce back at the same time, but not good for Chicago sports fans. Although they secretly enjoy the misery as well somehow.
I'm inferring from that you're also a Bears fan.
Yeah, I don't know if you call it fan anymore. That might be part of the reason why I ended up in Portland, is just to sort of move away from that organization and patiently wait.
Returning to the food subject briefly, you know, obviously Chicago is an amazing food city. Portland is up there, I think, too, and based on, you know, different cities around the country and the diversity of food options that you got here. Are there go-to spots you've got in Portland? Do you have, like, favorite restaurants that you could rattle off?
Yeah, some, and I think one closed right after COVID, which crushed me. But there was a place called Imperial. I loved getting down to that place, you know, early and catching early dinner, because I'm an old guy and I go to sleep early and I don't have much of a social life. But Imperial was always a great one, you know. Growing up in Chicago and being around all the old time steakhouses, every now and then I do like that classic steakhouse. You know, that's when I'll be down at El Gaucho every now and then. You know, that's another great spot. You know, Bullard is another one I think that's pretty good, and you can find a good lunch, you can find a good dinner. So Portland's got well, it's not quiet anymore. I think it's known, but a really, really good food scene. You know, and very unique, and pretty much has everything that you would want. So it's one of, without question, the biggest attractions of Portland as well.
Great. Well, that will wrap it up for us here on Soccer Made in Portland. Thank you, Ned, for taking the time to do this. I look forward to additional conversations in the future as the season plugs away and gets on rolling here. It'll be nice to have, I think, some consistency in terms of the games each week too, pretty much all of them on Saturdays. You know, just the schedule being consistent, I think, is something that'll benefit the players, but I would imagine would make somebody like yourself's job quite a bit easier too.
Yeah, and a lot of other people's. I think that's a general consensus as well. And look, I'm happy to have spent the time with the guys. And Ryan, anytime you got any food questions, you can call me. I know the timber stuff is important too.
It is.
Let me know how I can help in any way.
Of course. Always seeking new options on the dining front. Just as important, by the way, as the other parts of my job. So thanks again, Ned. Thank you to Chris, as always. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at SoccerMaidenPDX. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else. And we will be back next week. Thanks for joining us.